On this Sunday in Lent, we hear about the story, the parable of the prodigal son, a well-known parable, all about grace and conversion. The word prodigal means prodigious or prodigality, wastefulness. A father had two sons, an elder and a younger, and the younger, for selfish reasons, wants his claim of what would come to him in time, the inheritance that lay ahead of him. The father, who is extraordinarily generous, gives him, before time, his share of the property, which he obviously sells, and with the money goes off to a distant land and lives a life of debauchery, which means wasteful living, perhaps gambling, parties, celebrations, gatherings. He had money, therefore he had friends. But when he ran out of money, and with the famine in that land, he became isolated and alienated. His friends had gone. To survive, he worked with pigs, which meant a life of utmost depravity, for Jews did not associate with pigs. And to make matters worse, he would have eaten the food of the pigs had someone given him that. He had hit rock bottom, and hence the phrase, he came to his senses. And then, at that moment, opened his heart to God's grace. And with that, the realization that he would be better off as a servant on his father's property than dying of hunger here. So he makes his way back home. The father is in search of the son, seeks him out, and when he sees him, runs with joy to the son. It should have been the other way around, the son running to the father. The son makes his confession, I've sinned against God, I've sinned against father, friends, family. The father forgives him, puts sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, and a cloak. They begin to have a feast. The elder son, who had remained at home, hears about the celebration, comes in to the property, but not to the house. When he is informed that his younger brother had come back, he feels envy and anger, resentment. He doesn't refer to his father as father. He feels alienated from his father and from his brother. He says, that son of yours. Distant, remote terms. We feel sorry for the elder brother because it seems that he's been doing the hard work at home, being faithful, ostensibly speaking. He hasn't had occasions to celebrate. He says, you've never put on a celebration like this for me and my friends. So he has an unjust claim he makes. And the father explains, look, you know, your brother's been away. He's been dead and has come back to life. Ought we not celebrate? And that's the end of the story. We're not told the older son is reconciled. Behind this moral story is the reality that the father is God. And we are either one or both of the sons. Both of the sons are sinners. We are all sinners. Every saint in heaven, apart from the mother of God, was a sinner on earth. We may sin in a public manner or in a private manner, but in both cases, we break our relationship with God, with others, and alienate ourselves from his plan. When I say we sin privately, don't forget of the Ten Commandments, two are internal. They refer to desires of the heart, the wants of the mind. The ninth and the tenth commandment are realities. And this elder son, perhaps, had fallen into them. The younger son represents people who sin in a public manner, externally. They're known for what they are. If they seek God's grace, God is willing to forgive them. And notice too, as the father ran to the son, God is more willing to forgive us than we are willing to forgive ourselves. And he welcomes us back home. The symbolism of his sandals meant that he's no longer a slave or a servant, but a son in the household. Servants didn't wear sandals. The ring meant that he had an inheritance awaiting him, the life of heaven. And the cloak, of course, is a symbol of sanctifying grace. For the father said the son was dead and has come back to life. He hadn't physically died, but he had morally died through mortal sin. Now he's returned to the life of sanctifying grace. And that is cause for celebration. The eldest son also received his share of the inheritance. But he did not waste it. Perhaps he was a hoarder. Perhaps he was faithful in work. But what we do know is that he was alienated from his father and from his brother. Because he does not refer to his father as father. There's no term of familiarity used. When he refers to his brother, he doesn't say, this brother of mine. He says, this son of yours. And notice when he talks about having a feast, he says, my friends. It's all about me, my world, my pleasures, my desires. He's filled with envy. Envy leads to self-pity and anger and resentment. I think he perhaps was living a hidden life, a double life. Sometimes we have to be careful about judging others. Only God knows what transpires in the soul. And in his rant and rave, he accuses his brother of being away with wild women. There's been no mention of immoral conduct of that type until now. Perhaps it's the elder son who had desires for prostitutes and harlots. Or perhaps he himself had been immoral in that manner. Often it's the thief who accuses others of stealing. There are assumptions we're making, but nevertheless they hold some degree of truth. Remember, this is a story told by God about us. And we need to realize that it's not just what we do, but sometimes what we fail to do, or what lies within, that will determine our future at the end. In either case, both sons were in need of grace. Both sons were in need of reconciliation, forgiveness from their father. One sought it, one did not. Let us pray that those who feel alienated from the church, or those who are perhaps living a double life in and outside of the church, may come to the realization that it's God and God alone who can heal them. It's God and God alone who has compassion for them. It's only in approaching his mercy will their misery dissipate. And therefore, in this year of mercy, we pray for all sinners, including ourselves, that we may seek God's forgiveness, come to our senses, and be reinstated as members of his royal family. Praise be Jesus Christ.